Does everybody have their M&Ms? Anybody not have an M&M? Pardon me? Gave her away. Jan, can you get her an M&M? Is there some M&Ms left? Mark will do it. That's okay. We want everybody to have an M&M. Everybody upstairs, you have an M&M?
Bring your basket. Raise your hand.
Okay, some more up here. I started working on this sermon, and it came out title-wise, M&M Church. And then I had this idea. Who doesn't like chocolate? Well, not everybody. And I'm not expecting that all of you will eat your chocolates, but I want to give you permission right now to begin sucking on eating a piece of chocolate if you'd like to do that. If you don't want to do that, that's okay too, because we want to give people the freedom to do what they're comfortable with. Now, have you ever checked into how many M&M commercials are out there? There are a lot of them. But one I keep seeing over and over is the advertisement where a woman hungry for chocolate grabs the hand of the humanized candy piece and drags him to her car. Now, he thinks he is about to have this wonderful date in this great sports car. It did not work out so well for him. M&M lovers just cannot resist their love for chocolate. Last night, I wish I'd have had a pack of these. It would have been nice, comforting, in the middle of this soft, quiet rain, to have some M&Ms. Well, the point I want to work on today is that there are two M's that are important to the church that makes us an M&M church. So what are they? It is a body with Christ at the head that leads us to do ministry. That's the first M. Grow up into the fullness of Christ. Be all that he modeled, mentored, and taught his disciples to be. And then to live forward and actively. We read it this morning. There's worship there. There's baptism there. But the challenge is to live forward, to go out in mission, the second M. Now, I must confess, this has not been an easy sermon. I've spent more time cutting to keep it in a reasonable amount of time. So there's a lot of things that are going to be left to your imagination. And that's okay, because I want you to work on this a while. I want the Oakton Church of the Brethren, if you believe God's asking you to be that, to be an M&M church. Something for the search team to talk with the new pastor about. Are we going to be an M&M church, a church that is in ministry because we feel led to that by Jesus Christ, the living Christ? A church that's not willing to stay in this building, but to go forth into our neighborhoods and our community in mission. Leonard Sweet has talked about the significance of the going by saying, go do me, hear Christ. That's where we are now. We're in the hearing process. Be Christ. That's hopefully what is happening as we take these M&Ms in. We're also taking in the love and the grace and the mercy of the living Christ and follow Christ and where Christ might lead you. Today, the youth of our church, 1,800 plus, are gathered in Colorado, and they're being challenged to be an M&M church. They will worship, they will eat, they will have fun, and they will be challenged to do mission. Will we let them down when they come back? They're going to be on a high. Will we want to hear what they have to say? Will we take them seriously that God has spoken to them and maybe begun to change and transform their lives into the fullness of who God wants them to be? So as we move on, I challenge us to listen to this question and chew around on it as we chew on our M&Ms. How are we being the kind of congregation here that God wants us and gives us the opportunity and the responsibility to be the church alive? Ministry is a word we use rather loosely and freely in the life of the church. Well, let's consider this ministry. Let's do this ministry. How about this ministry? But what is the ministry that God wants us to pay attention to? There are many, many more. I'm going to list two of them briefly. The first is worship. One of the primary reasons, as Jan so ably pointed out to our children, is for our life together, is to come together to praise and thank God for love, grace, and mercy known to us in the living Christ. Every week, we come here to gather. As the psalmist wrote, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, to give thanks to him, blessing his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Did you get that? It's not all about just us. It's all generations. The generations that are now, the generations that will be, God's people coming together. It is the occasion when we meet God and God connects with us. Not just an M&M experience, but when God connects with us. And you know what happens? When God connects with us, we begin to connect with one another. Robert Snace, in Five Practices of the Fruitful Congregation, offers, worship defines God's people. Worship bends hearts toward God as it stretches hands, and I would add, heart and spirit outward toward others. Here is where we, as Paul writes today in our text, we are formed into one body, having one spirit by one God. One of the important, well-planned events of this congregation, and I believe that, worship is important here, is how we bring our hearts and minds together with the living Christ. If you don't believe that, you missed something last Sunday. Our youth, with their leaders, did a fabulous job of helping us to connect with God. But did you notice what happened after that service? It was a long time waiting at the back. And I praise God for every moment that I breathed without you coming out. You gathered together. You connected with one another. That is an important part of worship. Connecting with God, God connecting with us, and God connecting us to one another. Now, a second critical ministry identified in our scripture that we read together today is discipleship formation. A congregation is not true to its calling if it does not call out, equip, and send out people as disciples who continue the work of Jesus. Now, granted, we can think immediately of Sunday school, and please hear me right about this. Sunday school is important. But in my lifetime alone, I have seen the church move from Sunday school being the best attended part of a church's gathering to the smallest part of the church's gathering. Now, I don't believe low attendance means that people are not interested or hungry for ways of growing their understanding and equipping themselves in Christ. And you know why I believe that? I believe it because in our two conversations that we've had as a congregation, the one thing that keeps coming out over and over again is a hunger and a longing for meaningful small groups gathering for support, learning, and growth. It's come out over and over again. Do you remember looking at the Wordle last Sunday? Small groups, connectivity, learning, growing in Jesus Christ. So the critical and urgent question for us to struggle with regarding discipleship formation is how do we understand what it means to be the church, to be a disciple-forming congregation in the time? Get that? In the time in which we live. Now, there are many other ministries, and I will be preaching on these other ministries as we go. But spiritual care and support, that is a ministry. Deacons do that very well. Stewardship of time, talent, and financial resources, that's a ministry of support of the church's life. Friendship and fellowship, and these are just to name a few. But the two most important are worship and discipleship formation. How are you doing on the M&Ms? Got any left yet? Keep chewing. Keep enjoying. For we're going to the next important piece of an M&M church. When you hear the word mission, what immediately comes to mind? What comes to mind for me are those Sunday nights when we gathered West Goshen and the missionaries had returned and they told the story of what was happening in Nigeria. You know what has happened in Nigeria? They've gone through a tough, tough time. We have a prayer candle for them because we empathize with the pain and the difficulty. But you know what? They're still the largest numbered people of the Church of the Brethren. So I don't want to say anything that will undermine the work of the missionaries, the sacrifices they made, the hope they carried, the faith that guided them to be with the people and help them in their journey. Today's gospel lesson begins with a powerful word, go. That in of itself is probably the biggest challenge of being a missionary church. How do we go? Where do we go? When do we go? Are we a congregation that sees our going in Christ to be a powerful reason for our existence? A powerful reason to grow others to join with us for all generations to go forth and to practice and to live and to share and to be the good news of Jesus Christ? If we are a church in mission, we are always looking for where God is already at work. Who are the people of greatest need? You cannot see them sitting here. Who are the hungry and lost? You cannot see them sitting here. Who are those who can be called to join us on the journey of continuing the work of Jesus? You cannot see them sitting here. Out there is the mission field that God gives us the opportunity to live in and to serve in. Right around your homes, a lot of us drive in here a fair distance to be together as a congregation. Your mission field is around your home. It's in your workplaces. It's in the schools you attend. But there's also the missional field right outside this church door. Leonard Sweet, in the book that I referred to, So Beautiful, shares three insights that I invite us to consider. He first of all challenges us to observe the center of the biblical construction is not go, but make disciples. That should be the center of every congregation's biblical, theological understanding of what it means to be church, making disciples. Sweet also encourages to remember it is not about a program, but rather seeing signs of what God is up to and living a response to what God is doing and wants us in partnership to do with Him. It's like one church in Lancaster whose youth of this particular woman came to church, but when they went to visit her, they discovered she was dying of cancer. And they realized the porch was falling off the front of her house. So missionally, they wanted to bring the good news to her. And the way they did it, they got together the talent in the church and they built her porch. so she could sit on it, enjoying the last days of her life, enjoying her neighborhood, being in connection with people. Finally, Sweet wants us to realize, go do me inevitably happens while a person is hearing Christ, being Christ, and following Christ. And he says it can't be separated. Hearing Christ, being Christ, and following Christ. I would encourage us to talk more about, pray more intensely for guidance, and act more intentionally our way into God's mission from the doorstep of this church, to create in our minds a vision for and the practice of missional pathways. You're going to hear me talking about missional pathways. It's a word that I give credit to God because I have no idea where it came from. But as I've been thinking about our conversations, I've been thinking about missional pathways. The going to the community, the going to our homes, the going to our workplaces, those are pathways. But the returning from those places to our homes and the returning to this place to be built up in Christ, to have our souls refreshed, to have deeper learning and understanding and encouragement to be ready for another week of going, of making disciples. A missional pathway could be an image for this church and for all nations and all generations. What do you think? Now, if you've emptied your packet of M&Ms, that's great. You can either grab another, and if there's some left over, but I'd like you to put that packet someplace in your home that you'll see it every day this next week, and to pray this, Lord, help us to be an M&M church. Thank God.